How you doing? It's Mikey Rebello, the host of the Bulldog Report, and we have two Bulldog historians, two Bulldog former players, Sal Marano and Lou Mizzucci, right?
Right.
So, Sal, we'll start off with you. You played for, you know, the Bulldog team, and your family, you know, has history with the Bulldogs. Jim was the Pee Wee's first quarterback from...
My cousin Jim was the first Pee Wee football quarterback. I have a cousin, John, who graduated from Wesley in 1957. He was a halfback for Wesley. Then I was the next one in line. I played on Sal Ogieri's first team.
Wow.
Back in 1964. And then we were undefeated in the league in 64. And then in 1965, we were undefeated all together. One of the top teams in Rhode Island and New England. It was a great time for Wesley football. And basically what it was the start of... it was the start of when Wesley was a basketball school. And it was the transition over Wesley being a basketball school to a football school. And Coach Ogieri had a lot to do with that. Have a seat, Lou.
Have a seat, Lou. Joining us is Lou Mizzucci, another former Wesley Bulldog. Because before 1964 came, there was just a high school football team, and it was mainly basketball. Because from what I looked under the stats, the 40s to the 60s had a very, very good basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
Very phenomenal basketball team.
Do you want to sit here? Because you got to be able to understand what he's saying.
Well, I'll sit next to him. I will.
So. Okay, we're back. Had a little technical difficulty, but joining us, Lou Mizzucci and Sal Marano, you know, they're both on WBLQ. You can listen to them Saturday mornings talking Bulldog football, URI, sports show. So we'll get back to what Lou was saying.
Yeah, Lou was
I'll let Lou mention something about the 40s.
Yeah, from the 40s to the 60s, Wesley was mostly known as a basketball school.
Yep.
They had good baseball teams. Yep. The football teams...
We never drew any crowds.
So.
You know,
as long as you beat Stonington, nobody really cared.
Right, that was the idea. Just beat Stonington and no one cared after that. You know, that was
right.
The main game.
Not really.
And Lou was a starter, if I'm not mistaken, on the 1950 team. 1950 football.
Yeah.
50. He was also a star baseball player.
Yeah.
In the Hall of Fame. Right.
That was 50...
85 years
51
old, 85
was,
years young.
God bless,
50,
you look great.
Yeah, 51.
Was your graduation year.
That's my graduation. That's the last day I played Stonington in baseball. So I had 5 for 6 that day. And then the last shot I hit, this left fielder come in, Johnny Christina, and off the top of his glove. I come back to the... scored, and I said Oscar Pellegrino was the scorer.
Oh, yeah.
I said, Oscar, that was a hit, wasn't it? I said, that's 6. Sorry, Maz, he should have caught it. I said, Oscar, sorry, he didn't give me the hit.
Oh, wow.
No, yeah. I would have had 6 for 6 to record. Terry Peterson had 5 for 6.
So transitioning through, just to give you a little history, transitioning through the 50s. Wesley football program had a coach named John DeGangi.
That was my junior and senior year.
Who was after John? Was it John Stellatano, or was there somebody in between them?
Len
Genke? Not Len.
No, Len Teen was before John.
Okay.
John DeGangi.
So it was John DeGangi, then Stelly came in.
Stelly may have come in, him
John
and Bob
Stellatano.
Butch.
Yeah.
And there was some great history with coaches like Sal Ogieri. I had a pleasure to meet him at at the Thanksgiving Day game. And, you know, I felt like I was standing next to a superstar.
Oh, Sal was a great
he's a legend.
Coach.
He is a legend. All the stories
you
had.
So.
They named
the
field.
So I just want to give you some more of the history. That way you... Because this is basically about football. Even though I played baseball, Lou played baseball. Actually, I think I was better in baseball than I was in football, although my claim to fame is football.
You got more interest in football, Sal. You like the contact.
Maybe right? It was the hitting.
Right.
You know,
I'll go into some of that. So now we're into the late 50s. John Stelitano's the head coach. Wesley's not. They may win two or three games a year. They beat Stonington maybe every other year.
Take care, buddy. Yep.
All right. So now we're in the early 60s. They had a coach named Bob Peltier. Coached for either two or three years. Wesley just... They've had some decent players, but...
Collectively, they weren't...
Kyle Millimacki played in that era.
Yeah.
Kyle was a very good in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Great athlete.
And there's an award named after him, right?
Outstanding lineman.
And then Bob Peltier left, and a guy named Barry Dietz coached for...
He didn't stay too long.
I'm going to say 3 years, Lou. And Barry... He did well his first year. They tied for the championship, I think. But then everything kind of went downhill. So Barry, we don't know the whole story.
No, we don't.
Especially the players. I was just coming up the ranks, 8th grade. 9th grade, Barry was still the coach. At 10th grade, Barry was my head coach, and Sal Augeri was the assistant coach. There was two coaches. And... there was a bunch of us guys, kids, I think there was about five of us that started just about every game from our sophomore year to our senior year. After our sophomore year, it was a very, very poor team. We were three, and believe it or not, we actually won three games, won the first three games, and then we lost the last seven. Lost to Stonington twice. But I was a starter in those two Stonington games with Brian and Gary Capalbo and Barato, and there may have been one or two others, but that was like a nucleus. See, that was the sophomore group. Okay,
you guys are just gelling.
Right, we're just coming up, but Barry Dietz went on a sabbatical, like a leave of absence.
Yeah,
so they needed a coach, and the most logical guy was Sal Augeri. So a lot of people don't realize that he was only an interim coach.
Right, and then
in '64.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Right time, right place.
Right time, right place. And when he first took over, he wanted that job. I mean, he was a teacher. That's where he made all his money, mostly. But he wanted the head football, and he was a taskmaster. I mean, it was like Marine boot camp, basic training. All summer, he put us through the paces all summer. What he would
two a day sessions.
During the summer, he'd be over there playing for the Hilltops first base, and he'd be looking over because where the football field is now was like a big pasture, big green pasture, and we used to practice like Monday through Friday, even in July we'd practice over there. No, we couldn't have coaches.
Just next to the gym where the gymnasium was.
No, the football field. No, that it was where the field is now.
Yeah.
Where the Augeri Field is now, okay? That was like where they played soccer and ran track.
Yeah.
It was like where Augeri Field is now was just a big green piece of grass.
Right.
And we used to practice over there. And he'd be spying on us from first base, making sure that anybody screwed up. He still couldn't screw up because he'd be looking from the distance. That's how intense he was.
Paying attention to everything.
So that year we had a pretty good year. We were 7-2. We lost to Stonington twice. Now there's four losses I've got against Stonington.
That really hurts.
That hurts,
right? Four. But I don't forget me and my guys. We started every one of those games. Now there's four. So now it comes time for my senior year, and Brian DiMaggio, who's probably one of the greatest of all time. I said one of. Barato, one of the greatest of all time. Gary Capalbo, another superstar. Myself. We had maybe a couple other guys, and I hope I'm not leaving anybody out. But it was my senior year, and you saw how Wesley ran through Stonington
yes.
on Thanksgiving Day. We used to do that in every game, like Wesley did, kind of.
Yeah, right.
Right? So we went undefeated that year. So now all of a sudden everybody in town has got the bug. Now it's the basketball team is kind of like,
Now taking second place to the football team.
Yeah, we're kind of like, we're in Class A suburban. But they were finishing with 500 records instead of going to Federico and even Stellitano when they'd only lose one or two games all year and they go to the New Englands. No more.
Yeah, that don't
now
happen.
Everybody was talking about football, right? So that's then the year after I graduated, they went undefeated as well. They went undefeated the next year. And the following year, they lost one or two games. So he won 20. Salieri won 26 games in a row without a loss.
Wow, that's like an unbelievable record for high school football.
Right.
You just don't.
It was Jim.
It
was Jim
like
Marino's senior year in high school before they lost. He was a quarterback. They lost two games that year, but they beat Stonington 48-0 in a pouring rain, which Lou might remember. That was 1968. Then we went through a dry spell, Lou. Jim Galuccio took over, not because of Jim, just maybe the talent wasn't.
Didn't have the talent.
And then Sal came back in 71. And then that was the rise of Bobby Mitchell. And then Joe Mixey.
They won 11 straight games.
Yeah, and that, so it didn't happen all.
Well, not 11 straight games, 11 straight Stonington games.
Oh, right, yes, right. I've seen that.
That started in 71, I think.
71.
That was a good era because
right.
before that, you had two games, three games go back right. to forth,
that
Stonington, Westerly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they won 11 of them.
Yeah.
In a row.
Yeah, that was
just
unbelievable.
Something happened way before that, though, people should know about. In 1965, Wesley played in their last Armistice Day game. Right?
That was the end of the two games.
Right. That was it. It was 1965. I was a senior, and they played it on a Wednesday night before 5,000 people.
Wow.
Right? And we set a record other than 122-0, which nobody can ever prove, set a record for the most touchdowns in a half against Stonington. 6 touchdowns.
In a half.
It was tied by this year's team, scored 6 touchdowns.
Right, yeah. I heard you say that during the last show
right.
that we did with
Coach right.
Look,
Miranda. That's true. That was a hell of a... That what you saw this past Thanksgiving, this game... That was a record-breaking half, and also really one of the best.
The only one, I think, Toronto had what, 4 or 5 touchdowns,
something like that. Yeah,
5, I believe. For
the only guy that had more was Jeff Moore in 1915. Yeah. He had 7.
Yeah, and they also talk about
Justin
Lamb.
I'm talking about the half.
Right for the half, yeah.
Right.
When they talk about that record.
And Jeff Moore's record probably will never be broken, I don't think.
Right, no, he had 7, I believe,
but nobody can really prove it. It's kind of like anecdotal. They can't prove it, but they just know that he scored 7 touchdowns. Okay, so now we're back into Lou's son's era. 71, Bobby Mitchell, and my brother was a sophomore. He was a starting fullback. The next year, Bobby was a senior. And then they had a hell of a team name. My brother John, Mixey
That's
was
Louis
in there.
That's Louis' first year.
That was 72. But they didn't go to the Super Bowl because they got beat by East Greenwich.
Yeah.
They only had one loss. They were 9-1.
They were the nemesis, East Greenwich.
9-1. The following year, they all came together. 11 straight games they won.
And Stonington.
Right. And they beat Stonington 53-6 or 53-8.
Joe Mixey.
My brother had a touchdown.
It was an undefeated team, 71-72.
My brother just saw my brother John kind of carrying on the mantle. You know, Jimmy was the coach at the time. Jimmy Marino was. Well, now he was
coach,
a coach.
Superintendent and teacher, right?
Right. Yeah, but not that year. He was just a coach and a phys ed teacher. Salieri was still the head coach. 70. So now you got, that was 72, 73. That's the year I'm talking about. And 74, Bob Gebler was the head quarterback, right? And then that's when you had.
That's Louis.
That's
for
Louis.
Sure.
Yeah, that was a hell of a team. That was another team, undefeated team.
Yeah,
They beat Warren in the Super Bowl.
And they beat
Wesley beat Middletown a year before in the Super Bowl. Then they made the mistake of bumping up to Class A.
Which is now Division I, I believe.
Right.
We shouldn't have been in it.
Yeah. So that's when they... But we still went on a string of beating Stonington.
Yeah,
and in the middle of that was this controversial field goal that was supposedly too high.
Too high, they couldn't tell.
Right.
Yes,
right.
I heard about that also. And
yeah, man, we say it was good, they said it wasn't. Who can tell?
Right.
Yeah, too high, too low. Yeah.
So basically, that's then you've got Jimmy Moreno, you know, carrying the ball. He had two Super Bowl wins, had one Super Bowl loss. His son played on a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
Lou's team.
Mike.
Lou's, Mike.
East Greenwich, 13-7, they got beat. Greenwich was a nemesis.
Yeah, and it was a freezing cold night.
Oh, it was cold.
They say Jimmy was the first person to be a quarterback at the Pee Wee level, and then he went on that year to be a quarterback in high school.
Yeah, but
he was the first quarterback the Pee Wees ever had.
Yeah.
That was the first year.
64.
Yeah. Right. They put the league together, put the team together, the Capuccio boys, Denny Marie.
Denny.
And that was...
Yeah, the Capuccio boys were very instrumental.
Yeah, because Charlie Vaca told me a story about how it was the town farm, and they were looking for a place, and he said they had the three assessors.
The town did for a dollar.
Right.
Yeah, for a dollar.
Here's the thing.
I cut brush there.
That's right. We all...
Wow.
I remember you.
Cut brush.
But this is what everybody forgets, and I don't brag about it. I was on Pee Wee football committee. I couldn't coach because I was on the town council. Lou had run with me that year. He lost by like 30, 40 votes. He should have got out in. I get in. They make me liaison to the recreation board. So now, but I'm still in the Pee Wee football. So the Capuchos are driving me nuts. Richie especially. Okay, come on. What the fuck? What did all this improvements to that field? They made it beautiful. What you see there, that's a beautiful field.
It is a beautiful field. It's better than high school.
The town still owned the friggin' field. They could have kicked them out at any time.
Sammy Antosh laid it all out.
Engineering-wise.
He's an
Sammy
engineer.
Antosh. The Capuchos were the... And Denny,
they were instrumental.
The Vacas. Joe
came
Vaca.
After, yeah.
Joe was... They were all right in there.
Joe has been there since 1965, I believe, a year after the league started, which is amazing.
But anyway, the deal was, hey, what are we doing here? We did all this work.
Yeah.
Sal, you're on the town council.
Yeah.
We want that field in our name. He said, well, what?
That's tough.
What am I going to do?
Yeah. Well, you had the vote.
So we went to our solicitor was... begins with a V. Nacarato, Vinny Nacarato. He says, Sal, you can't do it. The attorney for the Pee Wee football was John Toscano. They were good friends.
They all know one another. You know?
I said, geez, we got to do something. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give you a lease, perpetual lease forever and ever for $1 a year.
$1
a year. Right? Mm. And I went back to the guys and they said, this is what the deal is. All right, that sounds good. They can never take it away from us. It's ours forever.
Yeah. That's better than that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's still that way. They actually pay the dollar.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I know thousands of kids go through the Pee Wee level and ended up playing high school.
That was our feeder system.
Yes. It still is.
Which made us... better football.
Well,
because when I played and when Lou played, especially more so than even when I played, we wanted Pee Wee football. We were the kind of like a driving force, but we had no Pee Wee football. A lot of the guys when they got to high school, they had to teach them how to get in a stance.
They didn't have the basics.
They didn't know how to tackle. They didn't know how to block.
No.
So Pee Wee football, they taught you all the fundamentals. So when you got to the high school level, get in a three-point stance.
You're ready when you get
and they all know how to get in.
Right.
That's right. Yeah, the Pee Wee organization is a great feeder program for, like, there's so much football history in Westerly. I mean, I kind of fell in love with the history part. I'm not born and raised in Westerly. I was born, I lived down towards Providence for a long time,
Right.
But now that I'm up here
in the
town,
I'm glad you're
here, Mike. Oh my God, it's love, it's community.
We were all, like Sal said, we were basketball.
Right.
Where's Wesley? Basketball.
Basketball.
Now it's revolved.
Now it's all football.
The enthusiasm now for football.
Well, you look up Wesley.
Look at the crowds you get on a Friday night.
Yeah.
You get 1,500
unbelievable
people.
Unbelievable. Easy. And then the people that listen on WBLQ and Westerly Life, now that they live stream
hundreds of them.
You got people in the armed service from Turkey that were watching the game. a couple weeks ago. 16,000 views so far on the stream. That's incredible.
That's incredible.
With the amount of people that listen,
they're watching it either on Facebook or they can get it on their radio.
And they're saying, "Where's this Westerly anyway?"
Yeah,
Rhode Island somewhere.
Exactly.
So what do you got?
I'm gonna take a break and reset. Yep, give me 1 minute.
Because I gotta get moving here. I gotta go.
And immediately he stepped into the quarterback spot, and I believe we played East Greenwich, who was a real powerhouse in our league in those days. I believe he started off as a sophomore against East Greenwich with just a few days' notice. And if memory serves me correctly, and I'm kind of losing it after these many, many years, but I believe we won that game. And I have this vision of Terry running a long run down the left sideline, and I believe he made such an effort. He did score on that play. And as a sophomore, to just step into that role on that particular day just describes, in a nutshell, the type of athlete he was and the way he responded to pressure. I have to tell you, we had many, many, many outstanding players, and Terry certainly was very high, if not at the very peak of that list, from all around ability and performance. He was a gentleman every inch, and I'm telling you, it was such a pleasure each day to go to the practice field knowing that he was our quarterback, and I am just stunned by the news.
Very sad news, yes.
And it's very difficult to even keep my wits about me this morning as I talk about this young man, because I could go on for hours and hours about his leadership skills and his classroom demeanor, his on-the-field demeanor. He was just a spectacular person all the way around. And I'm very proud to say that I had the opportunity to coach him. And I'm sure all of my other assistant coaches at the time felt the same way. Just an outstanding individual.
Coach, this is Sal. If my memory serves me correctly, Thanksgiving Day, either 75 or 76, pouring rain over in Stonington. Stonington had the Beal brothers. Terry score that winning touchdown to give us the victory?
I think you're referring to the game where Terry threw a pass to, I believe, Matt West.
Okay, to Matt West. Maybe Matt can call in and clear it up a little bit.
Oh, Matt will definitely correct it if that's the case. If he scored the winning touchdown, we'll be hearing from Matt.
Well, you know, I believe he was the recipient. It was a special play that we put in for Matt because, albeit he was a lineman, he had outstanding ability to catch a football. And I remember we put in a special play. And I can still see Terry. I believe he rolled out to the right side towards our bench, and he was kind of like a yard or two away from me when he threw that ball. And Matt made the catch, and I believe that ended up being the winning score. But I tell you, I could be corrected on that because this was so many, many years ago that it seems like a lifetime. And, you know, when you've had a relationship with a young athlete, as we did, and I heard about this yesterday, just kind of knocked me for a loop because that was the last thing I ever expected to hear yesterday. And the type of athlete he was, he was always in condition. He was always on top of his academics. And he was totally respected by his teammates. And I think that was one of the most impressive things about Terry. He had all kinds of skills, and he certainly was a down-to-earth person. And he just felt as though he was one of the players and not anything outstanding in his own mind. But in my mind, he certainly was outstanding, I'll tell you.
Well, Coach, I have a picture I'll have to forward to you sometime. I sent it to Sal this morning. I don't know if you got to see it.
It's an old black and white picture.
It's a black and white picture of you with your arm. I've never seen you hug a player like this. You got your arm around Terry's neck. And it was after the Thanksgiving game in 76. And I remember asking Terry what that picture was all about when I got down to visit him when he was ill. And he said that you had told him that he was the only quarterback that you ever let call all the plays in the Thanksgiving game without anything from the sidelines, and how proud you were of him. It's a great shot. The expression on your face is worth a million bucks, I'll tell you.
Well, he wanted that game very badly. And I think he was wrapped up in the fact that, we had a very good relationship, and I had total confidence in him, obviously. And that was my last game as the head coach. And he really kept the team together because our record wasn't that great that year. But we were a decent football team. And to get up for a game as big as Stonington, it takes a tremendous amount of personal